In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Man thinks he wants authority. You see this with little children who think that being adult means that they can do whatever they want when they want. They assume authority means power. And so those in authority have the power, and those under authority are powerless, are inferior, or are oppressed. And so with all things, natural man takes the good gifts of God, in this case authority, and abuses it. In the beginning, God created male and female. He appointed male to be the authority and woman to be under authority. And no society hates this and wants equality between the sexes. Equality under the state for sure, to live freely, to prosper, to be protected underneath the law equally, for sure, but not equality of authority. God has given the authority to man, not to woman. And this order of creation is for the good of both man and woman, so that both might flourish. And so where this order of creation is subverted, there also, man will not flourish. Now, those in authority received it from someone else. If they simply took it upon themselves, then that would be more along the lines of power and not authority. The centurion recognizes this. He recognizes he has been given authority to carry out a particular task. Authorities are not bossy. They do not do whatever they want, but they're responsible. They take care of those underneath them. They serve, they give, they sacrifice. The more authority one has, the more one sacrifices. And so they are a blessing to others. Do not think then that being under authority is somehow being inferior or oppressed or powerless. Jesus himself was underneath authority. He received all authority from the Father when he was eternally begotten of the Father. The centurion recognizes this also. He says, I too am a man under authority. I'm just like you. I have been given authority to carry out a particular task, and so have you. This Gentile soldier, this foreign invader, this occupier of Israel recognized Jesus of Nazareth is the eternal God, who was sent into the world to save the world from all diseases, pain, sin, suffering, and even death. And Jesus marveled. He spoke, and the man's servant was healed at that very moment. He has all authority to do whatever he wants, when he wants to. His rule fills heaven and earth, extends over the cosmic and the microscopic. He was sent by the Father to make all things right. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too insignificant. He wants to remove your life-altering ailments and your minor annoyances. He was sent by the Father to carry out this particular task. Even diseases must submit to his word. But just because he has authority over all things doesn't mean he will do all things. Remember, there's a slight difference between authority and power. Like the leper, therefore, we pray, thy will be done. The good and gracious will of God is to strengthen and keep us firm in the faith so that we die in Christ. So he doesn't just do things because he can. But Jesus only does what is for our eternal good. Remember, authorities are to carry out their assigned task. Jesus was not sent by the Father to give us a good life here on earth, but to bring you to salvation. He is your Savior. We may not need the sufferings of Job, the life of Jeremiah, the thorn of St. Paul, but he does know exactly what you do need. If he is willing, he could give you peace, prosperity, riches, pleasures, influence, and status, a long life. He has the power to do all of that. but he may not use that power. He may rather allow your loved ones to die, diseases to worsen, pain to intensify, and stress to accumulate. Why? So that you learn to submit to his will. We all want the power. Like Adam and Eve, we want to be gods of our own life. We want everyone else to do what we want. And that includes God. We doubt his will is for our good. We don't trust that he has our best interest in mind. And when he doesn't do what we want, we wonder, why didn't he answer my prayer? You see, we assume our will is always for our good. To say it bluntly, we think we know more about our lives than God does. But did he consult you when he hung the stars or set the planets in motion? Did he ask your opinion on how to save man? His is a good and gracious will. He's not selfish like us. He's not consumed with power like us. And he's concerned only about you and you making it into his heaven. He wields his authority to that end. And so he won't just simply do whatever you want. He won't align his will to yours, but he will continue to be Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior of the world, just as the Father sent him to be. Life may not go your way, but that is why you pray, "Thy will be done." You are praying against yourself, against your wants, against your desires. You are telling God that if your prayer is contradictory to his will, then just simply ignore my prayer. You are okay if God decides to give you those riches, or if it be his will to take them all away. You are fine if he heals your body, or if it be his will to allow that disease to worsen. You are content if he gives you peace or trouble. So we learn that prayer is not for our benefit, it's not for God's benefit, as if we must tell him what is going on in our life and what direction we should take. But prayer is for our benefit. It's for us to learn that he is the authority and we are under his authority. And he will do what is for our eternal good all the time. We live under his will, under his power. And it is good, and his will is gracious all the time, even when it feels hard and punishing. For Jesus used his authority for the good of man. He gave his life as a ransom. He offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Remember, the greater the authority, the greater the sacrifice. He has all authority to help us in our hour of need, and he did. He is your Savior, just as God sent him to be your Savior. And he will continue to exercise his authority through that powerful word, which alone can save. He will continue to reach out and touch you to take away your sin and purify your flesh. He will not simply do whatever he wants, but he will only do what is beneficial for you so that you might make it out of this world and into his heaven. So what leads you back to his word? What sends you running to the arms of Christ? Would these two individuals have come to Christ in faith had they not suffered from leprosy and a servant being paralyzed? Do you see how God used these particular trials to draw out their faith? Because they believed he had power to help. And now they have opportunity to express their faith. And they were not disappointed. Neither will you be. He has all authority to do what is for your good. He died for you, he rose for you, and he will whisk you out of this earth and bring you into his heaven. And that will be the answer to all your prayers. What Satan intends for evil, God uses for good. What man continues to abuse, God still works through to accomplish his purpose. They seek to bring pain, destruction, misery, and death. And out of it, God works a deeper faith, healing, hope, and eternal life. Jesus' authority extends over the cosmic and the microscopic so that you might be healed, so that you might sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at table. And thus, here you are, with the great saints of old, surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, waiting to eat a foretaste of the eternal banquet. And Jesus stretches out his hand and touches you who are infectious, you who are sick, you who are dying and poor, troubled, and stressed. And you are healed at this very moment. Yes, at this very moment, you are healed. For his word always does what it says. Great is your faith. For though you do not see a change in your condition, you believe that he has been given all authority to be your Savior. And that is what he is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.